everyone. Welcome to another new episode of the Focus Point Podcast. I'm glad you decided to give it a listen. I really hope you'll share this with your family and your friends. I really hope this encourages you and blesses you. And I hope you'll check out thepointoffocus.com. And today we're listening to a song a little bit. Here in a few seconds, I'm going to play a song for us. And the song is called The One You Love, and it's by Elevation Worship. And this is the song is where this episode gets the title from. And I just want us to listen to the words of this song as it starts to play here. And I just want us to just listen to what they're saying. And then after that, we're going to break it down and kind of just talk about some of the components of this song that are really amazing and awesome. So give this song a listen.
I can be real with you. Say anything and I'll be your friend. You made me and you like what you made. You made me and you don't make mistakes. I can be real with you. You take me just as I am. You choose me all over. Don't have to prove anything. It's wrong if you take over me. I am the one you love. I am the one you love. It's me.
In here, and let's talk about some of the things that we're hearing in this song and separate the lines and look at them in a different way. So one of the first things that I wanted to mention from the lyrics is the line that opened the song. I can be real with you. This is a very, very important line. It took me a while to understand that I can be real with Jesus. I believe many times we can be afraid to express to Jesus how we really feel. We are afraid that possibly we will make Jesus mad somehow. But there are many instances in the Bible where people got real with Jesus. One of the instances is Mary and Martha in John 11. Mary and Martha were the sisters of Lazarus, and Lazarus and Mary and Martha were friends of Jesus. Lazarus was sick, and so Mary and Martha sent a message to Jesus urging him to come to Bethany because Lazarus was very sick. But Jesus didn't come right away. He waited 2 more days before heading to Bethany. Jesus arrives in Bethany and is greeted by Mary and Martha. And this is what it says in John 11, 17, verses 17, 20, and 21. It says, when Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed back in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been there, my brother would not have died. Now, I don't think that Martha was just going and saying, you know, Jesus, if you just been here, man, like he wouldn't have died and stuff like that. I really don't think that was the tone. I don't think Martha was happy with Jesus at this moment, knowing that he was a friend and knowing that he would come and he didn't come. And she was more than likely very, very frustrated with Jesus. So Martha comes up to Jesus and she's upset with him. This was probably more yelling at Jesus. Mary comes and gives him the same kind of rundown, the same kind of deal. If you were only here, Jesus, if you would have just came when we asked, he would not have died. This wasn't a heartwarming Kodak moment. They were upset with Jesus. They told him how they felt, and Jesus never once got mad or frustrated with them. In fact, as we see in John 11:35, that Jesus wept with them and the people around watching this go on. One of the other instances that's in the Bible is, this one's more kind of mad at God, but this was with Abraham in Genesis 15. God made a promise to Abraham that he would be a great nation and have many descendants, as we see in Genesis 12. But as time goes on, Abraham becomes frustrated with God because he and his wife Sarah can't have kids. So Abraham says to God in Genesis 15:2, O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't have a son? Since you have given me no children, Eleazar of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. Once again, like Mary and Martha, this comment from Abraham was coming from a place of frustration and anger. He was not happy with God in this moment. And Abraham says all of this to God. What good are your blessings? What good are your promises? But God doesn't get mad at Abraham. In fact, he reassures Abraham. Genesis 15:5. Then the Lord took Abraham outside and said to him, look up at the sky and count the stars if you can. This is how many descendants you will have. After God said this to Abraham, we see things change. We see that Abraham believes God and his promise of descendants. We see that in the very next verse, actually, Genesis 15:6. The final person I want to bring up is David. David got real with God a lot. You don't have to look very far in the Psalms to see how David interacts with God. And these moments, once again, are not just these nice moments. These are real, how David feels. I've always wondered why the Psalms were a roller coaster ride. In this one section, David is praising God. And in the next, he's almost yelling at God. In fact, he is yelling at God. He's frustrated with God. He's upset with God. And here is an example in Psalm 22, verses 1 through 3, of what I mean in this kind of way that David would write his Psalms. We see here in Psalm 22, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer me. Every night I lift up my voice, but I find no relief. But then here's where he switches. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Enthroned on the praises. In the first two verses, David's frustrated with God because he feels distant. He's not answering his cries for help. Have you been there? Have you felt like God is distant and not there when you cry out for help, when you're needing his help, when you're needing guidance, when you're needing him to answer you, and it just feels like he's not? I know I've been there. But then the very next verse, David writes, "Yet you are holy." This shows us how David got real with God, but also knew who God was. We move on to the next line in the song, and this line talks about how God created us and how God likes what he made, and he doesn't make mistakes. Paul describes it like this: "For we are God's masterpiece," in Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. A masterpiece is an artist's best work, or as Google Dictionary describes it, a work of outstanding artistry, skill, or workmanship. A masterpiece can be food, a book, a song, an art piece, or a human being. We are God's masterpiece, and he likes what he made. But also, as the song addresses, we aren't perfect. The second verse in the song says, "No, I'm not a perfect child, but I still make my father smile." When I think about this line, I think about my kids. They're not perfect at all, but that doesn't change how much I love them. They still make me smile. They still make me proud. They still deserve every ounce of my love. They are my kids. This is the same way that God looks at us. This is exactly how God looks at us. We are not perfect, and he knows that, but he loves us anyway. He knows we are going to make mistakes, and he loves us anyway. He knows all about us, and he loves us anyway. We still make him smile. We still make him proud. We still get every ounce of his love. We are the ones he loves. And that should be encouraging. That should be such good news that we are the ones he loves, even in our messes, even in our problems, even in our mistakes, even. God still loves us, and he likes what he made, and he doesn't make mistakes. I don't know how that sits with you. I don't know where that sits with you right now, but that is how God is with us. God is for us. God is not against us. God loves us. God cares. That is the truth that God wants us to hear. That's the truth that Jesus wants us to hear. He loves us. He cares for us. It says in Jeremiah 31:3, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself." So one final thing as I bring this episode to a close that I think God wants us to hear out of this song and out of the verse that I just read is that his love never fails. Never at all. It says right there in the verse that with an unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. I have loved you with an everlasting love, a love that never ends, a love that never fails. That's what God wants us to hear, that's the love that he has for us. But we seem to forget it sometimes. We seem to let the world tell us different things about God's love. But no, God loves us. He says it all over Scripture that God loves us, that God cares for us. So, as I close out this episode, you can listen to the rest of this song as long as you want, but the episode is just going to close out right here with a song. But real quick, I wanted to say, I hope you are encouraged by this episode. I hope you'll share it with your family and your friends, like I said at the beginning, but I hope you'll come back and join us. In July, we're doing a series called At the Movies, so I hope that you'll come back in a couple weeks and join us for that series. It's really going to be exciting. I'm really excited for it. But once again, God's love never fails.
I know and I've seen that your love. Even knowing what you know, I'm still the one you love. I'm